As I mentioned, I'm very interested. I've been talking about this the entire show. This the concept of where we are with the economy. Today, we saw so many different stories that are very important to the future of who we are as a people, as the United States of America. But I saw last week a story that kind of got brushed over, and it was this idea that the first quarter economy numbers, the economic numbers that came under the first quarter of Donald Trump, were way lower than expected. And it's interesting because that's what he ran on. This is the idea that he's a business president and he's going to turn the economy around. And one of the ways he did that, says he's going to do that, is by raising the interest in, with the Fed raising the interest rate. And we saw that happen. And today I heard a story saying, you know what, they're going to do it again. They're going to do it again. It has to. It's the only way that we're going to bolster the economy. And Pete and I were talking about the idea that we don't even know why that is. At a certain point, you're like, what does that have to do with me? When the interest rate gets raised, that means mortgages and credit cards get theirs. But I'm not sure what I get out of the deal. Barry Sterner is in studio. He is the founder of Townstone Financial, a mortgage lending company here in Chicago. Good to see you, Barry.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so I turned to you for this. This is something that became a head scratcher, and I want to talk about. So the Fed did increase the rate one time already, and we have seen an increase, and they're going to do it again. Why?
Well, the Federal Reserve is looking out ahead in the future. So you, myself, and Pete, we don't know exactly what they're looking at. Because if you look at the numbers that you said for the first quarter, tomorrow's an unemployment report, by the way. Tomorrow is going to be April unemployment. It's a big unemployment report. I'm sure the Trump administration wants a better number than they had at
And there are
March.
it's sort of moving that it looks like it's going to be a better situation than the last at least 2 weeks when it comes to
Right.
the we'll see.
ADP came out yesterday. I think it's
Yeah.
like 175 or 200,000. I don't know the exact number, but it was a better number. The street is looking and saying, hey, March was not good, but some of these adjustments that are done by the labor statistics in Washington, which, by the way, supposedly doesn't have enough people working at it right now because the Trump administration hasn't hired them. They're saying to themselves, if this is a really good number and the Federal Reserve looks at it that way and it comes to where everyone's expecting it, you're going to see another quarter point up here at the next Federal Reserve meeting. I think it's in a month and a half or 2 months is the next meeting. However,
June.
You're asking the real important thing is, and I get this phone call all the time, how does it affect us? When it went up a quarter point, like you were saying, my mortgage statement didn't go up. However, if you had a home equity line of credit, it directly affected you. In the next month,
Right.
you were paying an extra quarter point. If you're going to get a car loan, okay, any type of car financing, you paid an extra quarter point. If you had a CD that was coming up at the bank, you had a savings account, generally speaking, eventually, and we were talking about this before, it doesn't happen automatically. Like they charge you automatically, but they don't
Right.
raise it a quarter point on your CD and your savings account that quickly. But that's really what it's affecting. But here's the real interesting thing, and I think, and we've talked about this before. The real interesting thing is that since they raised, we've had political things that you've talked about. You got problems going on in North Korea. You have problems going on in Washington, or I should say, nothing's going on in Washington. You haven't had any real tax cut movement. Obamacare until today, it passed the House, obviously. There was no movement there. And people are starting to question, is he really going to be able to move the economy? Is the president going to be able to move the economy? So despite the fact that the Federal Reserve rate is a quarter point, actual 30-year mortgage interest rates, 15-year mortgage interest rates, they haven't really moved much. We've been trading on a 10-year bond between 2.30, which means nothing to the majority of people, and 2.60. All that I want to say is we've been bouncing between this 30 basis point spread going on 3 months now.
So let me get this straight. So the idea that the Fed increases the rate, we're all told that you better get in. This is going to screw up refinancing. This is going to change the way you get a mortgage. It's just going to go up, and it hasn't.
Not,
why hasn't it?
The Federal Reserve does not control long-term mortgage rates. When the Federal Reserve raises interest rates by a quarter point, that is actually the amount of money, or shall I say, the interest rate that the large banks pay to borrow overnight. And you say, why do the banks borrow overnight? There's a million reasons why they borrow overnight. It's because of the way that how deposits are. But the bottom line is, right now they're paying 1% overnight to borrow. And so the Federal Reserve can raise rates up and mortgage rates can still go down. So I call it hyperbole, because when you hear on TV and they're talking about Federal Reserve, it scares everybody. It's like crying wolf. I'm not saying rates aren't going to go up, but they just haven't, because we're in a world economy. I know I was in here a couple of years ago when the Chinese government devalued and there was all kinds of things going on in China and our stock market went down, and the Federal Reserve was talking about increasing rates at that time, and the actual mortgage rates did not go up. What really made mortgage rates go up, and it's kind of silly to say, but the night that Donald Trump won, we went up steadily. We were at 3.25 to 3.5 on a 30-year fix, and we went to about 4.25. We went a point up within, because of politics and the way that, you know, he was talking about borrowing billions and billions of dollars to build all these roads. Not that any place in Chicago needs the roads fixed, as you know, or the CTA or the schools or anything else needs fixing. But he was going to spend all this money and get all these things through Congress. And you've talked about it many nights on this program, which I listen to. Nothing's really happened. So we're kind of stuck and we're not moving right now. And, you know, it's a great time to buy. We're still around 4% on a 30-year fix. We've been bouncing between 3.75 and 4.25, so still very low. We were just talking about your past guests. The first house that they bought, or her parents bought, was at 20%. Mine was at 12%. And, you know, right now, if you talk about 4.25 versus 3.75, everybody gets all crazy. Yeah, right. It's a half a point up.
It's funny. I think my first condo, which probably would have been early 2000s, was five and a quarter.
And you were able to buy it. You were able to afford it.
Yeah. It's interesting. But Barry Sterner's in studio. He is the founder of Townstone Financial. We're talking about the Fed, whether or not they're going to raise the interest rate. But I also think one of the big economic stories, as we talk more about finance, has to do with what we saw sort of flirting around the edges, and President Trump has talked about the concept and the notion of breaking up the big banks. We see this all the time, and I even saw billionaires talking about it. I think Griffin here in Chicago was quoted saying, "I think it's a great idea." You're hearing more and more people saying it's great. What does that mean to when a politician says they want to use the government to break up the big banks?
Well, you know, I was watching Barney Frank on CNBC, who obviously one of the co-writers of the Dodd-Frank bill. And he was talking about the fact that since 2008, when this bill came out, that the banks, some of them have doubled and tripled in size. And we're talking about the major ones. You got Bank of America, Chase, who else? PNC, Wells Fargo. Some of the largest banks in the country right now. And the threat is, what happens if something goes bad, like it did in 2008? Who's going to bail out these gigantic institutions?
Because now they're bigger than they ever.
Now they're bigger than they ever are. And for myself, my personal opinion, you know, I worry if any of them goes out, my 401k, my IRA, all my retirement money, my business here, we're all going to have a problem, because there's systemic reaction. They're all intertwined right now. However, the big banks are going to say to you, how am I going to compete with the Germans? How am I going to compete with the Chinese? How am I going to compete with the Japanese bank if you cut me down and make me smaller? Because it's a large world banking system out there, and I am in competition with these other large entities, and if you chop me in half, I can't compete.
I'm just interested because I think about the rhetoric that comes out of the Trump administration, in a good way or bad way. I don't discern one way or the other. The concept that regulation is strangling business. It's not giving Americans a chance. We really want to get the government out of banking. We hear that about Wall Street as well. So it seems to me on the wrong side to say that they want to break anything up, because it seems to be the government interfering in capitalism at its strongest.
Listen, you know, I'm a small businessman. I've been in business, it's going to be 15 years in July, Townsend Financial. You know, we've made it through. Washington Mutual no longer exists. Bear Stearns no longer exists, all because of mortgages, right? And Dodd-Frank, although it solved many, many problems, it went all the way too far for, I guess, the majority of Americans. You know, when you have a crisis, you come in and you try to stop the bleeding. Okay, so it stopped the bleeding. But there's I'm positive right now. I mean, I'm hopeful, I should say. I'm hoping that Trump comes in there and the Trump administration and some cooler heads come in and say, hey, Obamacare, Dodd-Frank, we did them at a time of crisis, and let's fix them. Let's make them better. Right now, there are certain people that call me up I can't get mortgages for. They don't fit in the box. And the box is very, very tight. It's been very, very tight since 2008.
That's what people who work in the mortgage industry complain about, the idea that there are too many regulations on who can get what kind of mortgage.
Exactly. And so if we can just open it up and have a little more common sense. I mean, there are such things as bankers knowing who I can give a loan to. For instance, you could have a 50% loan to value, meaning your house could be worth $200,000. You could only owe $100,000, and maybe you need to cash out and you want to go to $125,000. However, you may be retired. You may not have a whole lot of assets. I can't even qualify you anymore based on your loan to value.
Now, I'll play devil's advocate.
And I can't get you. I can't get you a loan.
To my mortgage broker in studio. I mean, there was one of the reasons the regulations was on there is because the mortgage industry had figured out a way to give unqualified people mortgages at an alarming rate for commissions and what have you. And they started to default and it started a chain reaction and got us to where we were in 2008. So, I mean, I think that has become sort of the layman understanding of the economy. So when you talk about, just give us a bigger box, you're sort of like, how big is too big?
It was too big. Stated income, stated assets, stated this, meaning you, let's call it a liar's loan. Let's call it the way it was. It was a liar's loan. That started out very innocently. It started out for a self-employed borrower who was using the tax code and not, he had their business, such as me, a small businessman, and I don't show any income because I write everything off.
Right.
I couldn't get a loan. So they started doing some kind of stated income for a self-employed person, and that particular person had cash flow, money coming in, and it was very, it was used properly. And as you said, that sprung into teachers, police officers, firemen, you know, everybody had second and third jobs, and it wasn't used properly. I always go back to the same thing, and I have this argument all the time with people. The regulators did not regulate. There were plenty of laws around in 2007, 2008, 2006.
They looked the other way.
And that includes the Federal Reserve that we were talking about. They went in and looked at these bank books. They were doing stated income loans and all the rest, and they allowed it to happen. So when the regulations are on the books, enforce them, period. And right now, I'm not talking about opening it wide open. I'm just talking about making some smart, common sense changes so that certain self-employed people, certain retired people, certain people that work really, really hard, the average American who's working really, really hard, who maybe has a couple dings on their credit, something happened to them medically wise or something like that, and I can't qualify them right now. And so for us to be able to use some common sense, the our industry, and maybe some people are listening and saying, well, the whole entire banking industry doesn't ever have common sense, so it's hard to do. I would beg to differ that we do have some common sense and to be able to do this, because to go to work every day and say no to many of these people, some of them are hurting. And I'm not just saying that. Some of them are hurting. They need to refinance. They need cash. They want, or some of them want to buy their first house, and they're loaded up with student loan debt. And some of these things are opening up a little bit. Those are the people I'm talking about helping. I'm not saying stated income, you get a loan, everyone gets a loan who wants a loan. Just something to open up the box just a couple inches.
Always good to talk. Barry Sterner, the founder of Townstone Financial, joins us from time to time to talk about the economic outlook and interest rates here, not only in Chicago, but the country. Barry, always a pleasure. Thanks for being here.
I appreciate it. If you need to reach me, give me a shout, 312-896-2110. We'll be in the office tomorrow.